waiting on me to get started. Well, good morning. Glad to see you all here this morning, ready to be, worship the Lord today. We're going to get things started with a few announcements. Don't want to forget, today we've got kids ministry at 4:30, youth group at 5, and business meeting tonight at 6:30 as well. So don't want to forget about that. We'll have our business meeting tonight. Also, with that comes a couple additional meetings. Trustees, 5:30. Deacons, 5:30 at this evening. So you're a part of one of those two groups. You've got a 5:30 meeting. Youth groups at 5 o'clock. Kids ministry at 4:30. Business meeting at 6:30. Busy day. And I've got another meeting at 2 o'clock in the middle of the afternoon. So there goes the rest of my afternoon. But that's all going on today, so don't want to forget about that. But don't forget, though, coming up this week, Wednesday night, Family First Night, VBS Preview Night. We're going to do some VBS songs. I'm not sure what all Mindy's got in store for that, but it's VBS Preview Night this month. We'll have some more good food. I don't know what's on the menu this week, but hey, doesn't matter. We're going to eat good. Pizza, even better. We'll do pizza this week on Wednesday night, so come and join us for a time of fellowship, time of fun, a little bit of a lesson, scripture, kind of devotion thing we do as well. It's an opportunity for our church family to gather together on the first Wednesday night and just fellowship and get to know each other a little bit better. That's coming up Wednesday night at 6 p.m., so don't want to forget about that. Are there any other announcements this morning? Graded ladies tomorrow? All right, Bible school project and shoeboxes for creative ladies tomorrow from 10 to 3. Maybe 1 o'clock tomorrow. All right. They'll be here at 10 to start with. So, tomorrow. All right. And yeah, with that being said, VBS is coming up in about 2 weeks. We start VBS. So, it'll be here before we know it. And if you want to volunteer to help with that, please see Mindy. She'll always take more volunteers. Even if you got just one night or two to volunteer, she'll take the help. I promise. Anybody else, any quick announcements this morning? No other announcements, then we want to turn to our prayer list this morning. Harry is still down at Deaconess Midtown. Going to be there for a few days. Took a fall last week, so remember him in your prayers. Mindy's grandma Phyllis has been in the hospital the last couple of days as well. Possibly going to go home today, not certain. Not now. Okay. I'm getting a head shake. No. So remember her in your prayers as well. Edna has pneumonia. She's in the hospital as well. And then Marlene, still not here this morning, still trying to get better as well. So remember her in your prayers. Are there any others you want to update on this morning or add to the prayer list? Everybody's quiet today. Yes. Okay. So. Yeah. All right. So remember that co-worker of Ricky's going to Haiti. So pray for their safety. Pray for everybody. Is it a group going that's going down there? Okay. So remember that family as well, everything that's going on. So, yeah, keep them in your prayers. Keep them safe. Anyone else in updates on prayer list this morning? Additions? Yeah, Dave Klaus is back here this morning, doing better. Haven't seen him in a while, but he's back here this morning doing better. And, you know, we keep him in our prayers. And Dorothy, who's at the Woodmont as well, several others. We want to remember our shut-ins who can't get out as much. But glad to see David back here this morning, doing better. Still got a little bit of road ahead of hopefully get home, but one day at a time. And, you know, as we pray for all those that are shut in, can't be with us too. I went home yesterday evening. Before we went to the Walker benefit last night, but I call home and I get a phone call and I said, "We got company." Levi's buddy Blaine, who's been is in the U.S. Navy, popped in yesterday for a surprise. And how long are you home, buddy? So next Saturday. So awesome to see him here with us this morning. But keep him and all our servicemen in your prayers as well. Thankful for his service. I'm glad he's here with us this morning. No visiting today. So good to see you, buddy. Any other prayer requests this morning? Yes, Mark. All right, so let's remember Mark. All right. So let's remember your daughter and granddaughter as they make that trip with their school group, and everybody gets home back safely and nothing happens to her. Gene, do you have? Yeah, if you didn't see her come in this morning, Jean's sitting down here on the front end again this morning. She's having surgery on her neck next week. Supposed to have been this week. So Jean's going to have surgery next week now on her neck. So remember her in your prayers. She'll greatly appreciate it. Good to see her again. And as well. Anyone else? What you got, Waylon? All right. All right. Any other prayer requests this morning? If not this time, let's go to the Lord in prayer as we open up today. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for the blessings you bestowed upon us this week. Lord, it's wonderful to see our visitors today that have come back to join us once again and be a part of our service. And today we've missed them. Lord, they've been so happy and glad that they're here today. We ask that you just be with these prayer requests that have been made this morning. Lord, that you would bless them in a special way as we gather here to praise your name and to worship you. Lord, I also ask you to be with this message lift on my heart this week. Use me as your mouthpiece, Lord, today to speak your word and to let others hear, Lord, today what you bring to the table for us. Well, I ask it all in the precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Nice to have you with us. Have you seen the weather this week? When did you ever see several days that it didn't even hardly make 80? And sun and beauty, followed by the shower that we needed, all things in his time. Stand up for Jesus. Page 477. Get out your hymnals and show them you appreciated it. Let's stand for this one. Why not? Sunday, and the Lord has invited us to his table, deserving and not. Break thou the bread of life. 274. Page 134. Praise chorus this morning. 134. Emmanuel.
Thank you. We want our coffee in the lobby. We watch our worship on the screen. We got a rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our blessings in our pockets. We keep our missions overseas. Before the hurting in our cities, or will we even cross the street? But we want to see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see the change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. His chest. He didn't run off like his brother, but his soul was just as dead. What if the church on Sunday was still the church on Monday too? What if we came down from our towers and walked a mile in someone's shoes? Because we want to see the heart set free and the the walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see the change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. People who are called by his name, if we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our way, he will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land, but it starts right here. We are the people who are called by his name, if we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our way, he will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. Thank you. to the table.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for the weather of this week. We thank you for the miracles of this week, for the peace that you've given us, for the overshadowing of your by your hand, being involved in all the things going on in our lives. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you praise this morning. We ask, Lord, as we take up our offering, that you'd bless the gift and the giver. May you use it, Lord, to, as you see fit, for your service, your honor, your glory around the world. We just ask, Lord, that as we leave this place, we leave more incredibly focused on you with a sense of victory. Oh, we just ask your blessing on the pastor as he breaks the bread of life to us this morning. We just ask that you would receive all honor and glory from everything that is said and done. We ask in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. Thank you for the tithes and offerings once again. And before the kids take off this morning, I just want to let everybody know, fasten your seatbelts for next Sunday. All right? Kids will be excited about this. Make a joyful noise Sunday morning, next Sunday. All right? Be ready. Y'all look at me kind of funny. Next Sunday morning, I'm telling you, sermon's already kind of half laid out. It's called Make a Joyful Noise. We're going to have some fun next Sunday morning, all right? Be ready. Be geared up, ready to worship. All right, kids, if you're ready for Children's Church this morning, Miss Karen's back here. Miss Kim's back there. They're both ready to go this morning. Great to see our kids in America. You know, it's summer vacation. We understand that. Some people have got other things going on, vacations, and we've got short numbers this morning, but you know what? I'm excited for what God is doing and where God is taking our church and what's happening. This morning, though, we're going to talk about the bread of life. You know, let me ask you this question. When was the last time you were really hungry? I mean, really hungry. And I mean, you know, to the point where you couldn't think about anything else.
This morning.
This morning? That was me yesterday evening. I had my coffee for breakfast yesterday morning and an extra big cup of coffee after that, and then nothing to eat until the Walker fundraiser dinner last night. So that big barbecue pork chop tasted really good. I was giving the guys from Tennyson General Baptist Church, the brotherhood who did the cooking for that event last night. I walked outside, and I looked at him, I said, hey, and I used to be a part of this group, reminds you, so that I can razz them a little bit. And I said, you know where I can find any good food? They go, nope. I said, it's kind of what I figured. But, you know, sometimes we get really hungry. But for some of you, when you get really hungry, you get to the point of hangry. Right? You get hangry. You know what I'm talking about. We've all got those people in our lives to turn into these not so kind people when they miss a meal and they don't get their food, right? As a Snickers commercial goes, give them a Snickers, right? You're being hangry. Eat something. But the thing about hunger is that we can agree on this, is that we've all felt it at one extent or another. We recognize that hunger is a motivating force in our life. It's been the same way throughout all human history. And it was said, excuse me, back in 400 B.C., that the ancient Greek poet Aristophanes wrote, hunger knows no friend but its feeder. You know, it knows no friend but its feeder. In other words, I don't care who you are. If you're feeding me, you're my friend. Hunger is indiscriminate. It's unyielding in its single-minded focus. It's like, you're going to take care of this problem, right? It does not rest either until it's satisfied. Nothing makes you even, when you're hungry, nothing makes it any more worse than to smell food cooking, does it? Me, I can be hungry, but you pull fresh bread out of the oven and now I really got a problem. My mom has learned over the years not to make that when I'm coming by her house because it comes out of the oven, it goes in my stomach. I don't wait. But bread, which in any of its forms, whether depending on where, you know, depending on what culture it may be, you know, tortillas or pita bread or rice or whatever, it's a simple answer for hunger. Bread, it says, is ordinary, and feeling hungry is commonplace. So this morning, we're going to talk about the bread of life in John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35 this morning. Give you a little background on this. This is right after Christ had fed the 5,000 and then departed from them and went to the other side of the sea. So when you think about how they all started, as the scripture unfolds this morning, they'll start talking about the bread and realizing Christ had just fed 5,000. What? With how much? He fed 5,000 with what? Two little fishes and five loaves of bread. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't make that multiply to feed 5,000. Can you? The miracle in its own self of what Christ did was just that. That they had just seen this happen. They're in a remote location in a huge group of people. But this is right after that, when Christ is going over to the other side of the sea. We're going to pick up in John chapter 6, starting at verse 25 this morning. It says, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him.' Then they said to him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent.' Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?' 'Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.' And Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.' And they said to him, 'Lord, give us this bread always.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst.'" So upon seeing Jesus coming to them, here they are. When the 5,000 were there, when the crowd was there, they looked at him at one point in early part of chapter 6, and they said, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? Where are we going to find enough food to feed this crowd?" He said this to test the disciples. Where was their faith at? Had they seen enough up to this point to believe that God would come through once again? That God would provide when it seemed hopeless. Of course, you know how things end. Fed the 5,000 with five little fish and two loaves of bread and 12 baskets of leftovers, right? 12 baskets of leftovers. He met them with the bread. He satisfied their hunger. But most importantly, he showed them how God today can take things of so little and do so much. But today, in the scripture, we find this, that Jesus meets us with bread. Now follow along with me here. Look back at verses 25 and 26. It says, "And when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, 'Rabbi, when did you come here?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled.'" We learn that the people today, they find him on the other side of the sea. We know that these are some of the same people who were part today of the 5,000 on the other side of the water just the previous day. And it's here today. It says that we gain an important lesson, a small distinction that is far too easy to miss sometimes. He recognized that these people were hungry for food more than they were hungry to see another miracle. Their stomachs wanted satisfied. They were hungry. It wasn't about the miracle, it was about the food. Sometimes we get into church dinners and everything, it ain't about anything else but the food, is it? We want that good food. We want more of what we had before. Christ recognized these people were hungry for more food. They were hungry to see than they were to see another miracle. The miracle for the average person was like, they didn't know what was going on, did they? The disciples knew what had happened. They knew what they had given Christ, what he prayed over, and what they had distributed. The common person sitting there, the 5,000 people there, had no idea what had happened, did they? They just wanted another meal. Oh, he fed us yesterday. Maybe he'll feed us again today. They might not have realized what was going on, but truly today, at the end of the day, it's hard to appreciate anything, even a miracle, when you're starving, right? And that's where Christ, in verse 27, says this: "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal upon Him." Christ connects the dots of true satisfaction and contentment for these people today who were just after something to eat, who were just hungry. True today fulfillment, true satisfaction is coming today in Him. He uses something as commonplace and ordinary as their hunger and the bread today in which they ate to help them to understand that the Messiah is the only one who can truly satisfy the hunger in our lives. Of course, then the next question anyone would ask is the exact question that they ask in verse 28, where they say, "Then they said to Him, 'What shall we do that we may work the works of God?'" Or another way, "How can we get the bread that endures forever?" Where do we find this? Where do we get what the bread that you're talking about that will satisfy for forever so that we don't thirst, we won't hunger anymore? It's right there. Jesus. Jesus satisfies our hunger. Imagine for a moment that you are the people that Christ is talking to, that you're part of this crowd. What would you be feeling at this moment? What would you be thinking? Just the day before, He filled your belly full of bread and fish. You follow Him across the other side of the water, and He says, you know, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on." You're probably thinking, well, where is it? Right? What's He going to feed me today? Because I don't see anything sitting here. And standing in front, but here, imagine this though. There's a guy standing in front of you in Christ who you've seen work miracles time and time again. Now all of a sudden, He's telling you about some kind of eternal bread where you won't hunger anymore. Now what's your thoughts? I like this. Some of you are probably thinking, praise God, I don't have to worry about eating the rest of my life. Right? He's going to satisfy my hunger. He says I should stop working for the bread that profits, or should say, that spoils, and instead I should work for bread that lasts for forever. So what's the work I've got to do? He answers to them and says in verse 29, the work of God is this. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. It's not work. It's believing. It's a belief. A belief today in Christ Himself. That's what moves the needle for these people. In fact, that's what moves the needle for us too. Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." The work we do, if you can call it that, is to believe. It's grace. It's a grace that God sent His Son, and it's a grace that Jesus humbled Himself to the point of death on the cross so we could have eternal life, eternal bread, and eternal contentment with God. He satisfies our deepest hunger. He satisfies that longing in our souls that has forever been empty. When I was going to church at Tennyson for a number of years, before I entered the ministry. They had a revival there one week, and Brother Cliff Clark was there. And we had Brother Cliff here a couple times, and just a wonderful, wonderful guy. I was helping with the youth group at the time, and service gets over. We're at the back by the back door, getting ready to leave, and he looks at me and he says, "David," I said, "What?" He says, "Are you happy with what you're doing?" "Yeah." I said, "I don't feel like I'm running from anything, Cliff." I said, I'm helping with the youth group. I said, "I'm a trustee at the church. I'm helping out with services on Sunday morning. I'm, you know, I feel like I'm where I belong." He says, "Are you truly satisfied? Are you truly happy?" I thought I was. It was during that week that I found out years later that he told Mom and Dad God was calling me to the ministry. My grandma looked at him and said, "Be quiet. I've known it for years. You let God do it in his time." Cliff knew there was something more. But he was asking me in a way to say, "Are you truly satisfied with where you are with Christ?" See, when we are satisfied in Christ, he satisfies our deepest hunger. In the scriptures today, he uses commonplace things to help these people understand the deeper truths of God's kingdom. Those gathered to Christ, gathered there with him, continued the conversation in verses 30 and 31 this morning. They said, "Therefore they said to him, 'What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" It's interesting to note that even though they witnessed the feeding of the 5,000, they were a part of that just a day earlier, they're now asking him for another sign about whether or not Christ is in fact the Messiah he's talking about. Imagine that. It's like they want confirmation about the confirmation they got the day before stacked on top of each other. You ever done that? You know, here they are. They seen a miracle yesterday to confirm in a lot of ways that he's the Messiah. Now they want another confirmation stacked on top of that to really be assured that that's who he is. To us, it may seem like a little bit much, but then again, it may not. For see, back in the Bible times, back in Christ's time, it probably made a lot of sense to be suspicious of anyone making claims and doing the kinds of things that Christ was doing. Sometimes we ask God for confirmation from something. God gives us an answer. If we look at that answer and we realize, okay, I asked God for an answer about what I needed to do, and he gave it to me. But then we look at it and we go, "Well, God, do it again." Why do we do this? Because we don't want to move sometimes, do we? God gives us the answer here and says, "God, give me an answer of what I need to do. Give me a sign to point me in the right direction." What does God do? God gives you the sign. God points you in the right direction. We turn that way and we go, "God, give me another sign." Because we don't want to go that way sometimes. We think we want to stay right where we're at. So here they are. They seen a miracle yesterday. Now they're saying, "What works are you going to do today so that we can know that you're the Messiah?" In other words, "All right, God, you did one yesterday. Do another one. Let me see it." We're constantly at that point sometimes. We're just like these people. You know, even Thomas needed to see for himself the hands of Christ and the piercing in his side today to fully invest his faith today that Christ had risen from the grave. He wasn't taking anybody else's word for it, was he? He says, "I got to see it for myself." It begs the question for us too then today, where do you see the doubt in your life? What situation just feels too far gone or difficult to keep bringing it back to the feet of Jesus and not getting an answer? Let me tell you, don't ever give up. Keep bringing it back to Christ. if you're ever doubting anything, understand doubt is a natural part of life. If you're doubting what God is calling you to do for Him in the ministry or in the church or whatever it is, don't doubt. I promise you. When you surrender to God and to God's will, God opens doors and God makes ways that man cannot understand. Living proof standing in front of you this morning. I mean, I was content working with the youth kids, helping out as a trustee, working with the brotherhood, barbecuing stuff all the time during, you know, and doing things, doing my part, working the soundboard on Sunday morning. I was content. I was fine. I didn't know that there was a deeper hunger in my heart that needed to be filled. When I began to realize there was something more today that I needed, something deeper, something that was going to satisfy even more than what I had, until I realized I had to surrender to God's will. I mean, church, I've said it time and again, I'll say it again for those who may not have heard me say this before. You're looking at a guy who is a sophomore in high school at 16 years old in speech class, mind you, never gave one speech, not one, in front of a class. Wouldn't do it. Could not stand in front of people and speak to save my life. I would come in after school. I might write speeches that would have got me A's, but I took a B because I wanted to do it, just me and a teacher after school. I took a letter grade lower every single stinking time because I didn't do it in front of everybody else. Now look where God's put me at. Right up in front of everybody. See, when we fill our lives today with Christ, He satisfies our hunger. And sometimes we're going to doubt what God may be calling us to do. And skepticism and suspicion are often warranted in situations that seem too good to be true. We often wonder, this can't be happening. It's like we get into somewhere and we're thinking, I feel like that's what I need to be doing, but it's like too easy. It's too simple. I'm going to walk through the door and a floor's going to fall out, right? We think, I'm going to walk over and when I do, something's going to happen and I'm going to regret ever making that step, ever taking that job or doing that ministry or doing what God's called me to do. And when we get to the door, we realize, hey, this is easy. Why? Because God is leading the way. When we get into God's will, God opens the doors. He satisfies our hunger. It might have been it's one of those things where it seemed impossible for these people to be standing there in front of Christ and realizing the actual Savior of mankind was in front of them, telling them about what they needed today to sustain life. And they're probably thinking, why is he talking about bread? Why is he talking about bread? This man who prophesied to them about the coming kingdom, about what was going to happen. But I love the last couple of verses there this morning in 32 and 33. When he gets to there, he says to them, when they ask him, about eating the manna in the desert and how he gave them bread from heaven to eat, Christ says, most assuredly I say to you, Moses, and this is kind of hitting them, this is kind of a tender, a really touchy spot with all of them at this point, because they were the children of Abraham's children, right? Moses led them out. This is all about today. Moses was the great leader who led us out of bondage. Moses took care of them today in the desert. Moses led them. Moses did this. Moses did a lot of good things, didn't he? But hear what Christ says. He says, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. Wake up, right? That wasn't Moses. It says, but my father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus respectfully corrects them and points them back today to God, the true provider today of bread, not Moses. Jesus also lets them know that God is the one who sent them the true bread, which is Christ Himself, the true bread of life. This interaction in these verses kind of remind, put you back to John 3:16, don't they? Where it says, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His only Son. God sent the bread today of life, the true bread. And I love their answer. When He tells them this, they look to Him in verse 34 and they said, Lord, give us this bread always. Give us this bread always. I'm sure there were some sitting there, they were overjoyed and excited today to have this miraculous form of bread today and realize, I'm going to get what Christ is talking about. He's going to give this to us. Some are probably thinking it's going to be just like yesterday. We're going to get some more of what we had yesterday, right? They proclaim, always give us this bread. And to this, He declares to them in verse 34, or in verse 35, He says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst. He is the true bread today given by God. He is the bread that satisfies our hunger. He is the bread that satisfies our soul. He is the bread of life. And in Him, we'll never hunger and we'll never thirst. He satisfies our longing, as the old song says, right? At the beginning today, I told you we were going to make a connection between the simple parts of bread and a commonplace nature of hunger. You know, here's why. Bread and hunger are two things that almost everyone today on earth has knowledge of. We know what it's like to be hungry. We know what it's like today to be satisfied with bread or to eat something. But Christ uses these ordinary things to explain the extraordinary kingdom of heaven and how God has given us today the bread of life through His Son, Jesus Christ. Those that were present at the feeding of the 5,000 got to partake in one of the most amazing miracles ever recorded. I would have loved to have seen all that take place. Some people from that event tracked Christ all across the water, didn't they? They followed Him to the other side of the sea. They tracked Him down, and He recognized that they were hungry. Christ knows that they needed more than physical hunger. It wasn't just the physical hunger they were trying to satisfy. It was that spiritual hunger in their hearts. Today, Christ today knows we need to get our bellies filled. But every once in a while, we need to have our hearts filled as well. Sometimes, our vessels, as the old song says, get empty. And we need them filled up again, don't we? We need today to reset our lives. We need to have our souls refilled. We are starved sometimes for unconditional love and acceptance that can only come today from God through His Son, Jesus. It's understandable times when we get into life and realize today that Satan has taken away today our joy. He has taken away today our love. And in all the process of this going on, our souls become thirsty. We become hungry. And we need to realize today that Jesus is the bread of life, the true bread sent from the Father. If we're hungry in our hearts for more of Jesus, we're hungry in our hearts for something more, for unconditional love, for forgiveness and redemption. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is there and ready to fill that void. He's ready to satisfy that hunger in your heart. This morning, as we have a song of invitation, are you hungry today? Bread may be ordinary, and hunger an everyday occurrence, a commonplace thing that happens in our lives. But I can assure you there's nothing ordinary today about the bread of life that Christ gives us. So what we need to do sometimes in life, and it's kind of best if we start every day this way, is put aside the things of this world and take some time to be with God and let God satisfy the hunger in our souls. Let God feed our lives. This morning, as we have a song of invitation, are you hungry or are you thirsty? Won't you come and ask Christ to satisfy the needs in your heart?
Just as I am, 342.
You know, isn't it wonderful to know that no matter what happens in our lives, no matter how many times we trip up, no matter how many times we falter and we fail, we can come to Christ just as we are. He welcomes us back, He forgives us, and He helps us back on our feet. You know, life happens. And sometimes we've got bad habits we've got to break. Sometimes we've got things we've got to work on. And we falter and we fail and we trip over those things sometimes. It doesn't mean we're not, get this wording right. That doesn't mean today that we aren't forgiven. It means we just got to work a little harder at overcoming those things that trip us up. It means we got to lean a little harder on Christ to say, Lord, I know this is coming. Help me through this. You know what happens? Eventually, we overcome those things that trip us up. Eventually, we beat those things. Why? Because Christ gets us through. He takes care of us. He satisfies our hunger. He satisfies our thirsty souls. And we can come to Him just as we are. This morning, as we have a time of communion, just want to remind everyone that we believe in open communion here at the church. You do not have to be a member to partake in communion. We just ask you to make sure your heart is right with Christ. So as a deacon comes forward and the other gentlemen are going to help serve this morning, as we're preparing the emblems and preparing things for communion, take a moment today and make sure your heart is where it needs to be with God as we prepare things. this time, let's bow our heads as we ask the Lord's blessing on these envelopes this morning. Lord, we come before you, Lord, and we're so thankful today for the sacrifice that was made on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we thank you for coming and bringing to us the bread of life that satisfies our hungers and fills our souls. The bread, Lord, today that offered us eternal life and no hunger, Lord, today from these earthly things that we have. Lord, we ask you this, your blessing upon these emblems this morning as we remember the bread, Lord, today, which reminds us of your body that was broken upon the cross. And the juice today that reminds us of the blood that was shed for the covering of our sins. We ask your blessing upon these emblems this morning. Do this as we partake of this communion. Bless it. And be with each one. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Say, take eat. This is my body broken. Likewise, the cup represents the blood of Christ shed for covering our sins. Before we dismiss this morning, I do want to remind each and every one that we've got several things going on today. Trustees meeting at 5:30, deacons meeting at 5:30, business meeting at 6:30. Don't forget about those if you're a part of those today. Don't forget also coming up though this week, we've got Family First Night Wednesday night at 6. It's pizza, it's VBS, it's a fun night. But it's a time for the church to come together in fellowship as a church family on the first Wednesday night of the month. So come join us Wednesday night for that. We'll have a lot of fun. VBS preview night. And that's coming up within, we start VBS 2 weeks from tomorrow. It's here. We're all about ready to go. Yeah, told you to be here before you know it. So, remember our prayer request and your prayers this week. Thank you all for being here this morning. Good to see our visitors and have back with us. Come back, join us again. Have a blessed day. Have a wonderful week. Let Christ fill the voids today in your life. Let him satisfy that hunger like nothing else can. This morning, you'll be stand. We're going to be dismissed.
Must be the time.
Must be the time. Thank you.